I'm looking today in Acts, in the first chapter of Acts, and verses 1 through 11, if you have your Bibles. Acts, the first chapter, verses 1 through 11. And I'm going to ask Deacon Smith to lead us and read it for us. Acts 1, 1 through 11.
Acts chapter 1. The former treaty have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven.
Amen. Thank you. Well read, sir. The same Jesus. Same Jesus. No. The one that you and I know, the same Jesus. The same one they saw go up.
Come on.
That's the one we know, that same Jesus. I want to talk a little bit about true promises of God. True promises of God. Now, there's no such thing as a false promise of God. So I got to put that right. I could just say true promises. But see, then you would not know who I'm talking about. So I had to put true promises of God. So somebody might say, well, is there false promises of God? No. There's false promises of Satan, but not false promises of God. Whatever God says is true. His word is true. We are Christians, we as Christians must remember and to communicate to other Christians who we are. That we are God's elect. We got to tell the world, like, it's not that we're proud of, well, we are thankful and blessed from it, but it's not like it's, we're showing someone off. They need to know that we are the elect of God. Yeah. And so the elect of God share the good news of God. We got to tell somebody of what he has done for us. You don't have to be a theologian to do that. You don't have to know the scriptures from the from the beginning of the book to the end of the book. You just got to know what he done for you. Mm-hmm. When he brought you out of the muck and the mire.
Yes, sir.
When he set you on a solid rock to stand, you can tell somebody, look what Jesus has done. He said that he would be with me. That's a promise. That's the promise. These apostles, when they were, after the Holy Ghost had come upon them, Jesus said that he would be with them. See, they had fear. They were afraid. But they became bold after the ascension of the Holy Spirit. After the Holy Ghost came down on them, they became bold souls. Yeah. They were even willing to what? Put their life on the line. That's a bold soul. Because of the promise of the Holy Ghost. He said to them, verse 4, wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. I promise you that the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit would come. I promise you that. Since John baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost don't baptize you. You're not wet after you had the Holy Ghost. You baptize in the water, you get wet, you come up wet. Some people say if you haven't really been changed, you go down a wet devil come up. but when you've been born again, the Holy Ghost come on you, you become a new creature. Amen. You're not a wet creature or something else. You're a new creature. Uh-huh. Behold, all things become new in Christ. You're brand new in Jesus. That's what he does for that new Christian. But he promises that when the Holy Ghost come upon you, you'll have a different way of mentality. How do you know that the Holy Ghost has come upon you? How do you know? Somebody knows here, in here, knows how they know that. One thing is, the Bible clearly tells us that we have what is called the fruits of the Spirit. It's not something that we go around telling somebody, oh, look, I got joy down in my soul. You can't help it. It just comes on you. You got the joy of the Lord on you. You're able to stand up after all and stand against the wiles of the devil. How do you do that? Because of the Holy Ghost. You can't do that without the Holy Ghost. You can't fight Satan without the Holy Ghost. You don't have strength to stand up against him without the Holy Ghost. That's how you know you've been born again. Because Satan comes at you, and he might knock you down, but you get back up again. Smile at him with one tooth missing. you done knocked me down one time, but here I am again. He might come back at you, but you know that you got God on your side. That you have been strengthened by the Holy Ghost. You also know that you have a certain joy when you got the Holy Ghost. Amen. He promised you the Holy Ghost will do this to you now. You got certain joy. This joy I had, the world didn't give it. And the world can't take it away. This joy, the joy of the Holy Ghost, the joy of Jesus in your life. That change that happens, you can't talk. You can't get enough of it. You can't talk about it enough. It's more than you can understand. And it just makes you feel good all over. That's why we come to church. Yes. We don't know why we come. We come because of this filling that God has given us.
Yes, sir. Yes.
And we're just glad to tell somebody about what he's done. And you know, one thing about church folk is that we have a like-mindedness. That's what we have. We have a like-mindedness. We think of things in the same vein. Because what? How do we think about it? Through the Word. What the Word says is what we believe. And we know we all believe the same Word of God. What a feeling that is to know we are on one accord. So you can't be on one accord about the Holy Ghost. Can't happen. This Holy Ghost is something that has been promised to us. Also, the promise has been eternal life. In other words, I don't care what else happens. Whether I don't preach another sermon, whether I don't even go up and tell somebody about it, whether I go and see my wife or see my children, it don't matter. Whatever happens, it's all right because I have the promise of the eternal life of God. It's all right. No matter what happens to me from now on, it's all right. I don't have to worry. I know it's all right. He's got me in his care. I'm all right in the name of Jesus. I'm all right. He's promised me that it's all right. That I'm going to make it. That I have a home not made by hand. I got a home up in glory. And I'm looking forward to that one day standing on the streets of Zion. The end will say, Lord, fight. I've been in a mighty bad way sometimes down there. But now I'm up here with you. I'm glad about it. Thank you, Lord. What a joy. I have the promise that he also is a deliverer.
Yes, sir.
Come on now.
He delivers us from the power of sin. You hear what I'm saying? From the power of sin. Sin has power because it comes through Satan.
Come on.
Sin does that. Sin will make you do things that you know your body, your mind don't want you to do.
Amen.
That's what Paul said, when I try to do good, evil's always present. The good that I should do, I do not do. That's a battle going on. Every Christian, I don't care who you are, you have the battle going on. But you know it's all right. Because in the end, it's back in the bottom, back of the text. You win. It's back there. In Revelation, we win. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for letting us be winners. Another thing he says to us, even while we're living in the midst of the trials and tribulations, he says he clothed us like he clothes the ravens of the field, the flowers of the field. Mm-hmm. He clothes us. If you get a chance, look at it. I'm not going there now. Matthew 6:30.
Yes.
Look at that. He clothes us. He takes care of us.
Yes, he does.
When we need hunger, when we need food, he sees that we have a way out, a way to get food, a way to have nourishment, a way to have clothing, a way to have roof over our head. He made a way like that. Scripture said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor seed begging bread. I've never seen it. That was Abraham. Never seen it.
Hallelujah.
My, I tell you, I know my brother's not on the line. My mom might be on the line today. But I remember my brother saying to me, you know, we were called dirt farmers.
Yeah.
My dad worked in the dirt farming, and we worked in the dirt with my dad. We were dirt farmers. Uh-huh. And I remember my brother telling me, after we were adults, growing up, had nice jobs. He said, Wendell, I never knew we were poor. I said, man, you didn't know we were poor. He said, no, I thought we were rich. I said, man. I said, I knew we were poor, man. He said, no, I didn't know we were poor. We never went a day without food. We had a home. We had roof over our head every day.
Yeah.
We had everything.
Yeah.
The kids run around happy and joyful. My dad's struggling. We didn't know he was struggling. We thought everything was all right. I'm saying, how that happened?
Yeah.
That happened only by the blood of Jesus, by the covering of the Lord, that he said it's going to be all right. Somebody was praying in that house. God put a covering over us. I'm saying, thank you, Lord. God has it in control. That's why I tell Eric, don't worry, your mom's all right. God's got her. God's got her. He's taking care of Sister Harris.
Yes, sir.
He knows all about the struggle.
Thank you, Jesus.
He's preparing you for a better day, another day.
Yes.
It's all right.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Glory.
We have the promises of God. You remember the story of Abraham. Abraham became the father of many nations. God promised him he would be. And Abraham was an old man, over 120 years old at that time. He was an old man. And his wife was 90, and he told her he was going to be the father of many nations. He said, how's that going to be? You see the woman I'm married to? And I'm 120? It ain't going to be like that. He didn't believe it. And God showed him. He promised them, and he showed them how a woman 90 years old could have a child. But that's what God allowed it to happen. He showed his power in the promise. When God promises something, he's able to stand by his promise. Oh, my. Don't get mad with me, nobody, but I got another promise.
Go ahead, now.
I got another promise. You know how some men and women promise each other that stay with each other in marriage?
Yeah.
Through the mud and the mire.
Yeah.
Through the thick and the thin.
Yeah.
Somebody say that. But that promise just sometimes just don't, it's hard to keep the promise. I'm telling you, it's hard to keep the promise.
Come on now.
But see, you never know how somebody's going to act. So you just, I'm promising you based off you do right. That's how it is. But if you don't do like I say to do, we gonna have a problem. My promises are not good anymore. But God said, I love you no matter what. He promised to keep you. He promised to be by your side. He said, I'll be with you. Though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, fear no evil. My rod and my staff do comfort you. I'm with you. We can't promise more than what we can't see.
Right.
Our promises are like with wet tissue.
Yeah.
It just don't last.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. So Abraham had his promise, and God showed him that he surely would keep his promise.
Uh-huh. Yes.
One thing he also promised us, as he had promised the apostles, he told them, go ye to all the world and teach and reach the gospel. He said, I'll be with you. That's what he's promised you and I.
Thank you.
To go into all the world. Our world might not be all across the seas, but we have our neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
We have our homes. We have our family members.
Yeah.
And we need to stay on them. I told my middle son last night, he came in the house, he was happy.
Yeah.
And a good feeling. And I'm a good feeling too, so. It's probably about 1:30 he comes in. I'm still up. And I said to him, I says, well, now, he came to church 6 months old. Whatever it was, as soon as he was born, he came, we brought him to church. And he stayed in the church. So he got 17. And then sports took over. And everything took over.
Yeah.
He had Bible study at the house Thursday nights. I mean, this is how we trained him. And it's tough to get him back in the church again.
Mama.
I know the scripture said, train up a child the way he should go. Mm-hmm. And when he gets old, he won't depart from it. I believe that.
Yeah.
I believe that. But I still want to help see them in the church before I leave this earth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to wait after I'm gone and, oh, yeah. Dad, I had a good time down there. I want to see you have a good time while you're down there. And while I'm here, you know what I mean? You don't have to come to this church, but go to somebody's church. Know Jesus as the Savior.
Okay.
See, it's not just going to church, it's having Christ in you.
Yeah.
Amen.
So I told him, I said, look, I just want you to listen to our study and our services online. Mm-hmm. That's all. I didn't ask you to go to church.
Listen.
I'm asking you to listen. He looks at me and he's eating something. And he looks at me again. Just kind of, I don't know whether his head said yes or no, but he was doing everything. I said, oh, my. Are you on the line, son? Are you on the line? Praise God, I hope you are. But, he was just, this is what he was doing. He was doing all this. Like, no. But I thank God for my children. And the privilege to be a parent to the children that God has given me. The privilege. I tell you, I take that with all the favor of God, the privilege of being a father to my children. And they're grown adults now. And we watched our granddaughter last night. My son took his wife out for her birthday. So we had to watch our granddaughter, the new baby, you saw her. And she's 8 months now. She was just a bundle of joy with us last night. I can't get it out of my mind. She's just a joy. I mean, what a privilege that God has given us. This is all a part of the promise of that if you live for Christ, he will bless you. He will pour blessings out of you. You don't have room enough. That's what he's been doing. What a blessing it is to serve a good God. A God full of promises. Somebody might be thinking, I don't know him like that. And I understand. It's tougher for some people. But I'm telling you, stay with him. When it looks like it's tough, stay with him. You remember the story where Peter and them were out fishing. And they were fishing all night long. And they couldn't catch a thing. And Jesus came by at the end of their fishing. He said, throw your nets on the other side. Cast your nets on the other side. What a promise. He's promising them something. It might not look like nothing, but he's promising them that you cast it on the side. There's something fruitful for you. And they had more than they could tear. They said they pulled the nets were tearing. More fish than they could take over. It was overwhelming to them because of the promises of Jesus. That book is full of God's promises. True promises. Promises that never fail. That's how he did. That's who Jesus is. He's a promiser. And he keeps his promise. So when you look down on your life and you look over at how sometimes it gets rough, say, Jesus, you promised. And he will bring you back to remembrance. Say, yes, and I kept my promise. I'm not a breaker of promises. I'm a keeper of promises. I'm a promise keeper. That's who he is. You know that one of these groups called a promise keepers that help families and stuff? He's a promise keeper. And a keeper of promises. That's who he is. Praise God. Am I a assinuator of the promises? I wrote this down. Am I an assinuator? In other words, do I accept the promises of God in my life? And I'm going to close in a minute. Do I accentuate the promises of God in my life? Do I make it clear that he's promising me these things? I think we kind of keep them quiet, don't we? God promised us, and we take the blessings and we keep it quiet. But sometimes we need to tell others that God, it might sound like you're bragging a little bit, but brag on Jesus. Brag on Jesus. I know what he's done. I've seen it. I've seen it for myself. I don't care what the preacher said. I don't care what my neighbor said. I know what he's done for me. He brought me through my troubled time. And he's still carrying me now. Because I got trouble on every head. But he said that he would walk with me and talk with me a long life way. He said that he would walk with me up the valley, through the valleys and up the mountains and the hills. He said he'd be with me. And I trust him. Because he's a promise.
Trust in him.
He keeps promises.
Yes, sir.
Trust God.
Mm-hmm.
Trust God.
Trust
him. He keeps his promise. Trust him. Live like you know he's a promise keeper.
My Lord.
You know how Peter did when he walked on the water? Jesus told him, come on and walk on the water.
Mm-hmm.
He trusted God for a minute.
Yeah.
For a minute. And that's what we do sometimes. Trust him for a minute. And then Peter took his eyes off Christ.
Yeah.
And he fell down in the water.
Yeah.
But still, Christ picked him up.
He did.
Got him out of the water back onto the boat.
Yeah.
But God promised him. See, now the only reason the promises fail is if we take our eyes off the Savior.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only reason the promise fails. See, he's keeping his part. We got a little part to do. Trust him.
Hallelujah.
Believe in him. Have faith in him.
Yes, sir.
Without faith, it's what?
Impossible.
To please God. Without faith. You can't keep your promise if your faith is not there. You can't keep it. So I pray, my prayer is that this reminds you as you live in your life to remind yourselves that God is true to his promise. That he will, whatever he says, he makes happen. And he stays with his keeping of the promise. That's my prayer for you.
Amen.
As you go forward. Stay true to the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Hallelujah. Is that all right, church?
Amen.
I'm going to hold you up. God bless you.